I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going. So how can we know the way? And Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He went on to say in verse 15, if you'll go down there with me, he says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teachings. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Father, I pray your blessing upon the reading of your word. I ask God that you would use it, Lord, this morning to pierce the hearts of your people. Use me as your vessel of honor this morning and help me, Father, to do the work that you've sent me to do. And may it bear the fruit, Father God, that it needs to bear. Have your way this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, in this passage of Scripture, Jesus has just given an awesome explanation of who he is. He says in this passage of Scripture, he said, I am the way, I am the truth, he said, and I am the life. And then he went on and he added, and no one comes to the Father, he said, except through me. In this verse of Scripture, Jesus is telling us that the only way that we can find God is through him. That's it. There is no other avenue. There is no other means. The only way that a person can get to God, the Father, is through Jesus Christ. Now, this conversation, this took place because Jesus was getting ready to go to the cross. He was getting ready to fulfill his mission, and he was going to go back and be with the Father. But Jesus knew that after he was gone, after he had ascended and left this place, Jesus knew that people would have difficulty accepting the fact that he was the only way to get to God. Jesus understood that people were going to believe that there were other ways of being saved, other ways of getting to God. So he sat down with these disciples and he began to teach them. Jesus knew that the church, man, he knew we would struggle with the concept of heaven and hell. He knew all of these things. So he sat down with his disciples up there in that upper room, and he began to pour his heart out to them, making it perfectly clear, teaching them all of these things so that they could pass his teachings on down to us. That night, Jesus spoke to them. Man, he poured his heart out. And in that conversation, if you'll go back and read into that conversation, Jesus focused on two things. Number one, our obedience. Number two, his provision to live within us. That was the whole focus. That was the whole point of this message that Jesus was trying to get to us. Now, I want to talk to you just for a moment, if I can, about our obedience. If you'll go back and read that passage of Scripture that I just read, four times in that passage, Jesus tells us that the key to being in a right relationship with God comes through Him and is simply to obey His commands. That's what He says. He says, if you want to be in a right relationship with Him, the key to everything is simply, look up here, do what He says. You see, Jesus is not interested in those half-hearted or those emotional promises that we're going to obey that turn out to be nothing. Jesus simply wants us to do what He tells us to do. That's the bottom line. If you read through this passage of Scripture, that's the message that He's trying to get to us. He placed the responsibility, listen to me, of choosing to obey squarely on our shoulders. Right here. No one else. You see, it's up to you and me. Because the world, they can't make you obey. The world cannot make you obey, and the world cannot force you to disobey. Satan, he can't make you do anything that you don't want to do. He can't make you do anything. The old adage that the devil made me do it, man, that's an excuse for doing what we do. The devil can't make you do anything that you don't want to do. So whether or not we do what is right is entirely up to us. So here's the bottom line. Listen to me. When we are disobedient, it is a sin. And sin, my friends, is not a sickness. Sin is a choice. That's the bottom line. When we are disobedient, it is sinful to God. And sin is simply a choice. And Jesus knows this. So He says to us in verse 15, He says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. In other words, our obedience is proof of our love. In our daily bread, there's a story that I want to share with you just real quick. It's about a man whose dog got killed in a forest fire. The writing said, heartbroken, the man explained how it happened. He said, because he worked out of doors, he often took his dog with him. That morning, he left the animal in a clearing and gave him a command to stay and to watch his lunch. He said, he went into the forest and his faithful friend understood the command because that's exactly what he did. A fire started in the woods and the blaze spread to the spot where the dog had been left. But the dog didn't move. He stayed right where he was in perfect obedience to his master's word. With tearful eyes, the dog's owner said, I always had to be careful what I told him to do. Because I knew he would do it. You see, church, that's the kind of obedience that God expects from us. No matter how much it hurts, no matter how bad we feel over it, the obedience that God expects from us is simply to do what He tells us to do. That's it. No more, no less. And Jesus drives that home there in verse 21. Where He says, whoever has my commands and obeys them, look what He says. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He says, he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. In other words, if you are serious about your relationship with Jesus and you are willing to follow through with what He tells you to do, Jesus is telling us in this passage of Scripture, He's saying that the love of God will be shown physically to you. The love of Jesus Christ will be shown physically to you. And Jesus says that He Himself will manifest or make Himself known to you. Let me ask you something. Look up here. Isn't that what we all want? To see Jesus? Truly, isn't it? Isn't that what we want for our life? To be able to truly have Jesus manifest himself within us and to us and speaking to us. A lot of people will say, I love Jesus as much as you do. I love Jesus just as much as you do. But I have trouble, man. I just can't keep some of those commands. I love him as much as you do, but I just can't keep some of those commands. Can I get real with you just for a minute? In verse 23 and 24 of this scripture, here's what Jesus said about that. He said, if anyone loves me, he said, he will obey my teaching. If anyone loves me, he will obey my teachings. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Now look in verse 24. And he said, and he who does not love me, he says, will not obey my teachings. He said, these words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. What he's saying here, church, simply, is obedience is a choice. Being obedient to the will of God, doing what God tells us to do, is a choice. We have the freedom to obey. But if you look at life, life is a series of choices. That's it. Life is a whole series, man, of just choices. Let me explain. When a person gets saved, the Holy Spirit comes to live within them, and God gives them His Word as their guide, their new guide for their life. You see, before we get saved out there, church, we're living our own life, doing whatever the world leads us to do and what we have been taught by the world to do. But when you get right with Jesus, when you finally come to that place where you get on your face before the Almighty Creator of the world, and you say to Him, Lord, I don't want to live like this anymore. I don't want to be like this anymore. I don't want to do the things that I've done anymore. God's Word says that He will save you. He will lift you up. Go read Psalm 40. He will lift you up out of that slimy pit and put your feet on a rock, He says. A firm foundation, He says. And when He does that, He's not going to leave you there. God will give you His Word. He will give you the Word of God as your guide for your new life. Because you see, the old principles that you were taught with, they don't work anymore with your new life. You can't pour old wine into new wineskins. The Word of God says that He will give you His guide for your life after you get saved. That's the bottom line. But let me tell you something. Now listen to me. This guide will tell you what God expects of you. But you have the right to choose to obey it. God has given you the freedom to choose, the freedom to have the right to obey what He says or not to obey what He says. He gives us that freedom. And Jesus said, for those who exercise that freedom and do what I've asked them to do, they're the ones who love me. They're the ones who show me how much they love me. But for the person who reads the Word of God, cries out to the Spirit of the Lord, and then goes out into the world and does what they want to do against what God has commanded, He says, you're choosing those things over me. In that moment, you're saying, God, I don't love you as much as I say. I don't love you as much as I say. Let me give you an example. God's Word says that you are to pray. Bottom line, when you wake up in the morning, you have been given the choice You have the freedom to start your day without praying, or you have the freedom to get on your face before the Creator of the world and say, God, I've come to meet you this morning because I need some help getting through this day. You see, God has given you the freedom to choose whether or not you want to pray, but God's not going to make you pray. Do you understand? I got to hurry here. I'm getting way past my time here. God tells us to do what we need to do, but He's not going to force us to do it. But Pastor Rocky, I just don't have time. What does time have to do with love? People will make time for things that they love. People will make time to do what they love. I love to ride my motorcycle. I'm going to make time to do it. Those of you who like to fish, you will make time to fish. When hunting season comes in, if you love to hunt, you're going to make time to hunt. If you love church, you're going to be here. People will make time for what they want to do, what they love to do. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. In Luke 6:46, Jesus asked the question. He said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? There's a story about a little boy whose mother wanted him to mow the yard. I thought this was really cool. But he didn't like mowing the yard. So she asked him to mow the yard, and here's what he said. He decided to show her his love in a different way. Here's what happened. An hour later, he came in breathless, all excited about what he'd done. His mother looked out the window and saw that the grass had not been cut. And she said, Johnny, go mow the yard. He said, Mama, I love you. And she said, then mow the grass. Mow the grass. Not even looking up from her sewing. But Mom, you don't understand. He said, to prove how much I love you, I cleaned out my closet. And she said, that's awesome. Thank you. That's wonderful, son. Now go mow the yard. He left again. He came back in a few minutes later, and she, totally out of breath, soaking wet. He said, Mom, I love you so much. I went and washed your car. Look, Mom. And she looked out there, and she says, it's awesome, Johnny. But the yard's still not mowed. Go mow the yard. Mow the yard. You see, God tells us, go mow the yard. God tells us, I love you, son. I love you. You're my daughter. But do what I tell you. Don't go think you can do this and make it okay with God when God says to do this. God says, if you love me, you will obey my commands. Bottom line. You know, it's funny how we as adults can look at our children in the same light as this principle right here and have no problem understanding it. You will look at your children. Look up here, guys. Come on, especially parents. Look up here. We will look at our children and we will say to them, go mow the yard. And if they go out and clean out their closet, you know what we say? What's up with that? I told you to mow the yard, but I cleaned the closet. I don't care if you cleaned your closet. I appreciate it and I love you for that, but you didn't mow the yard. You see, when it comes to us and our children, and we look at that principle, man, we're into it. We totally understand it. We expect them to do what we say. We expect them to demonstrate their love for us by doing what we've told them to do. Bottom line. But somehow, listen to me, when God is the Father and we are the children, we seem to lose sight of that. We seem to have a problem understanding that principle when God is the Father and we are the children. You see, God says, mow the yard, and we want to clean out the closet. Obedience is a choice. Bottom line. Now, I got to move on here. We talked about that. I want to talk about the second part of this message real quick, and that's about the power to obey. Because many of us, you see, we want to do what's right. We want to do what's right. We have the desire right here to do what is right, but we just can't follow through sometimes. We just can't make it happen. Solomon described it best in Proverbs 11:6 when he said, the righteousness of the righteous delivers them, but the unfaithful are trapped by evil desires. The disobedient. The unfaithful, the disobedient are trapped by evil desires. This is why Jesus spoke so much about the work of the Holy Spirit. Listen to me. Because you see, Jesus will never ask you to do something that He will not empower you to do. He will never ask you to do anything that He will not give you a way to make it happen. That's the bottom line. That's why He talks so much about the Holy Spirit. He will not ask you to be obedient to His Word without giving you the power to be obedient to His Word. That's it. That's what Paul meant when he said in Philippians 4:13 that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength or who strengthens me. That's what Paul meant. It's only through the power of the Holy Spirit that we can accomplish anything that God sets us out to do. That's why Jesus said in verses 15 through 17, He said, if you love me, you'll obey what I command. Look what He said. He said, now we'll ask the Father, and He'll give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. It breaks down like this. Our job is to obey. It is God's job to send the Spirit of truth to live within us so that we will have the power to obey. Jesus said in John 15:5, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Look what He said. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You can't obey apart from Him. You cannot obey the commands of God without Him. It just won't happen. That's why God sends the Holy Spirit to live within us when we get saved. Let me ask you a question. Haven't you ever wondered when you're talking to one of your unsaved loved ones, a son or a daughter, a mother or a father, a husband or a wife, haven't you ever wondered when you're sitting there talking to them and you're telling them about the commands of Jesus and how they're supposed to be living their life right, and they got that deer in the headlight look? Yeah, you guys know what I'm saying. It's because they don't get it, man. The Word of God says they don't get it. That's why it becomes so frustrating. Look what Paul said. He said in 1 Corinthians 2:14, he said, the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discern. That's why it's so frustrating, man, for a Christian to try and counsel or to teach an unbeliever about the principles of Jesus. They don't get it. They stand there with that deer in the headlight look going, I just don't get it. Or they'll do like this. No. Because they don't get it. There's one principle they need to understand. A person's not saved. And that's the principle of a new birth. Because Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot. Except a man be born again, he cannot. And if he cannot, then don't frustrate him by asking him. That's the bottom line. Now let's go back to this just for a minute. If you're a child of God, washed by the blood of Jesus, there's two things you need to acknowledge. First one is this, that you have been given the freedom to choose. You can obey or not. That is your choice. And the second thing is simply this. After you choose to obey, you have to acknowledge that the Spirit of God is within you and will empower you to follow through with your decision to obey. And if you lose sight of either one of these decisions, the work of the Spirit will be quenched. That's the bottom line. If you lose sight of either one of those decisions, the work of the Spirit in your life will be quenched. If you refuse to obey God, God won't be glorified. If you choose to lie, God will not be honored. If you choose to work, to mess up your mind watching stupid things on TV that you know is going to bring impure thoughts into your heart, God's not going to be glorified. That's the bottom line. Let me tell you something else. If you choose to obey, and fail to recognize that the Spirit of God is living within you to empower you to carry it out, you're going to try to obey under your own power and you're going to fail miserably. You have to choose to obey and you have to understand that the Spirit of God has moved in you and empowered you to obey and stand on that rock. I'm going to lift you up out of that slimy pit, He said in Psalm 40, and put your feet on a solid rock. We have to stand on that. We have to understand that. I'm going to close with this. thought this was really cool. This is a story about a television reporter in way back in far off Jerusalem. He had been assigned to cover a young preacher who seemed to have appeared out of nowhere, and he was preaching and changing the lives of people and really frustrating the religious hierarchy. And he'd been following this Jesus around, and he saw some amazing things. This reporter saw him turn water to wine and make the blind to see and raise the dead. And he watched him do all of these things. But he had some questions. He had questions about some of the things that he was saying. Things like being a shepherd and dying for his sheep. He didn't understand that. He said, and to save your life, you have to lose it. And to lose your life for my sake and find it. He didn't understand what this young preacher was talking about. So he wrote a letter and asked for some help. Here's the answer he received. The reporter's name was Eddie. He says, "Dear Eddie, thanks for your letter. Your questions were most interesting, and I think I may be able to help you understand some of these things. What this Jesus was saying to his followers was simply this. Either God owns your life, or you do." He said, "If he owns it, then he wants to live it. That means dying to your own desires, ambitions, your own dreams. It means that your only purpose in living from that moment on is to glorify God. Secondly, Eddie, it means that if you want to live God's life, you have to become a slave, a servant. And being a servant means serving those your master loves. Not a very pretty sight, but necessary. And the master's slave has one message, that heaven is real and hell is real. And only those who come to God, listen to me, on his terms can be saved. This man Jesus is the only way. He's the only truth and the only possessor of life. The key then is surrendering your life to his. You give him the key to your heart and let him have control. You'll make the decisions, but he'll tell you what they ought to be and then give you the ability to make them and carry them out. In short, you don't have to live life anymore. He'll live it through you forever. The choice is yours. Don't just follow him around, Eddie, from a distance to report on his life. Give him your heart and receive the Holy Spirit." That takes care of Eddie. But what about y'all? Question is this. Do you really understand that obeying the call of God is a choice? I mean, have you ever really grasped that? Truly. It is a choice. It's something that you have to make a conscious decision to do or not do. That's the bottom line. And if you do understand that, let me ask you this. Are you making the right decisions? Do you understand that a real relationship with Jesus has to be done on his terms? That he's not going to give way to what you want and allow you to remain in a good, sound, solid relationship with him. It's got to be done on his terms. That's the bottom line. No excuses. Here's the bottom line, guys. If you're saved, the Holy Spirit of God has been sent into your life, into your body, into your heart, and into your soul. Everything about you just oozes the Holy Spirit of God if you've been saved. And if the Holy Spirit of God is living within you, then you have the power to obey. You have to decide to make that happen. And it's only through the love of Jesus that you will make that happen. Now, if you haven't been saved, you can't obey the things of God because they are spiritually discerned from you. You can't obey. You're that person running around with that deer in the headlight look. But this morning, you can change all of that. Here's the bottom line. You got to stand up. Come on, shake it off. Stand up just for a minute. Here's the bottom line. We have been given the freedom to choose to obey. If we obey, God's word says that the Spirit of God will come and live within us. God will come and live within us. Jesus will come and live within us. That He will reveal Himself to us. He will manifest Himself to us. That's what He says. All I can ask you this morning, guys, is how we doing? Is there an area of your life that you need to straighten out with God this morning and say, God, I'm sorry, and tomorrow all this is God. Do you really have the Spirit of God living within you? No joke. Come on, let's get past all of the garbage and all the jokes. Do you really have the Spirit of God living within you? I don't care what your wife or your husband or your children think. Do you or not? Because your actions are going to tell me whether or not you do. Jesus said it's by your fruit, man, that you're going to be known. Not by what you say. I don't care what you say. You can stand up and holler, Lord, 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 all you want. And one of these days He'll look at you and say, outside, in the darkness, gnashing of teeth, but Lord, we cast out demons in your name. He said, I don't care what you say. You didn't live it. You didn't live it. That's what's going to tell me whether or not you love me. Go mow the yard. Mow the stinking yard. Quit worrying about your closet. Mow the yard. Are you mowing the yard? Or are you cleaning the closet? That's it. Bottom line. I don't have any more time. God.